We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we are producing this podcast from and pay our respects to the Cammeraygal people of the Gooringai Nation and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge the traditional owners of the land you are listening from today.
When we play with the other club, you're always going to find some people slate you, and if they don't know anything else, they will obviously come up with some not so nice comments and some which are usually identifying you based on your race, or you can call it a racial thing. Yes, it does exist.
In 2013, I was a coach of a cricket club in Victoria, and an incident occurred post a game. We had an altercation with an ex-Australian cricketer who was at the time playing for a community cricket club. The game was heated, and then after the game, as we were lining up to shake hands, he grabbed my collar and put me in a headlock. Yeah, I think it was just an act of an ex-Australian cricketer who thought he could get away with certain things, an association that we were cowardly saying nothing happened, or people not backing people in.
Welcome to Colours of Cricket, a podcast series that takes a closer look at the subcontinental fans, international players and community cricketers from the Australian perspective. I am Preeti Jabbal.
And I am Kulasegram Sanjayan.
In this final episode, we will explore racism and sledging in Australian cricket and how it impacts players with South Asian heritage. We will also discuss measures that have been put in place to mitigate it.
At the beginning of the episode, we heard comments from 56-year-old Bhavin Nagar, an Indian migrant who plays club cricket with his son in Melbourne. Then we had Hussein Hanif talking about an alleged incident of racism where he was on the receiving end.
Australian cricket has had its fair share of racist controversies involving domestic and international players as well as its local crowd. Its biggest embarrassment came during the Perth Test in 2005 when spectators called players from the visiting South African team Kaffirs, an insulting term for black Africans.
This prompted an ICC investigation into the behaviour of Australian crowds. Similar insults were heard during the matches in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane.
Cricket Australia and the larger cricketing fraternity outrightly condemned these incidents. However, there is no denying that there has been a debate in Australia about whether racism or sledging is a cultural thing and where one should draw a fine line.
Our historian and cricket expert Patrick Skeen says,
it all depends who you talk to. One person will say they get abused every 2 or 3 weeks. Others would say it is completely overblown and disproportionate and doesn't exist. It causes a great deal of discomfort to talk about, and it's a difficult one. If you don't talk about things, you can't improve them. That's the old adage. I was watching Fox Sports the other day and they had an old match and someone held up a sign in Bay 13 in Melbourne which said, "Go home, curry munchers." So that was definitely a prevailing sentiment at one part in the 80s.
Malcolm Corn, a Walkley Award winner and Australian-born cricket journalist, says racism has its roots in the formation of this country.
I'd imagine that it would have been pretty difficult in previous generations for players and spectators from South Asia watching cricket in Australia, because Australia was such a white country. Even the immigration after the war was sort of all European, but I think it's a lot better accepted now. I think part of the mistrust between teams was probably a reflection of society in some ways, if you go back to previous generations. And also I think the fact that cricket had been a very sort of Anglo game and was controlled in large part by Australia and England. And I know that there was increasing resentment from other countries about the way that for a long time Australia and England had the right of veto at the International Cricket Council. And I know that administrators from other countries found that quite insulting. Why should England and Australia have this right of veto? So thankfully that doesn't exist anymore.
Cricket writer and filmmaker Jared Kimber says that Australians have somehow convinced themselves that people are better at sports because they sledge harder.
Sledging is one of these things in Australia that we've convinced ourselves is something that we need to survive, and that is why we are good. We've kind of overlooked the fact that the reason Australia is good at sport is because we have an outdoor society. We have the facilities available for sport. We have governments who have over generations prioritised sport with money. We have a lifestyle that is around sport. We haven't had many wars. We haven't had many moments where, you know, we've been under attack from other countries. It's a very, very middle class society. Of course, we're going to be good at sport. We convinced ourselves, though, that we're good at sport because we're harder than other people, that we sledge harder. It's just nonsense. That filters all the way down. And again, if you're brought up in that culture, I think you broadly understand it. You might not like it, but you broadly understand the sledging culture. If you're not brought up in the sledging culture, you'd be thinking to yourself, why are all these people being assholes to me at all times? You know, I've played cricket in other countries around the world. They just don't do that, right? And they don't need to do that. You know, New Zealand are the most successful cricket team over the last, 6 or 7 years, and they just don't play that way, right? It's nonsense to think that you have to do that. And the lower the level you get, the more serious people take it.
However, Patrick Skeen says racist incidents are not exclusive to Australia.
Racism is all over the world, and that's where Australians get a bit upset when they feel they're being singled out. But we still have to call it what it is, and it's rank cowardice to insult someone's ancestry to try and win a game. It's cheating, it's cowardice, and it should be called what it is.
Skeen doesn't shy away from pointing out racist incidents involving Australian cricketers and suggests where Cricket Australia could have acted better.
Patrick Skeen gives the example of controversy involving Australian legendary fast bowler Glenn McGrath and Sri Lankan batsman Roshan Mahanama. The latter, in his autobiography, has accused McGrath of calling Sri Lankan star all-rounder Sanath Jayasuriya a black monkey in 1996.
Mahanama was also critical of the Australian skipper at the time, Mark Taylor, and then Steve Waugh.
He's a credible ICC match referee. And Steve Waugh and Mark Taylor said it was a publicity stunt for his book. Rather than explore it, they went into the protecting their mates mode. And I don't think there's a more credible person than an ICC. They have to be of the highest integrity to do that. And it just gets dismissed.
In a separate incident, former Australian cricketer Darren Lehman had to apologise for using racist slurs against Sri Lankan players during a one-day international match in 2003. Lehman became the first Australian player to be charged under the ICC's new racism code and was suspended for 5 one-day internationals. Mr. Skeen says...
was run out because he was too slow. Sri Lankans did nothing wrong to him. There's no confrontation. Just that he was too slow and got run out. And he came off the field and called the Sri Lankans the C word and black C word. Stormed into the dressing room hurling these insults. Clive Lloyd is the match referee. Hears it himself, and he's also dark-skinned.
10 years later, Lehman was appointed head coach of Australia.
Darren Lehman can be put in charge of the Australian team after that. If he had physically assaulted someone, he would never be put in charge of the Australian team. Goes to show that they don't consider that to be a serious insult.
There was another incident involving former Australian test batsman Dean Jones. He was sacked from his job as a television commentator after calling South African batsman Hashim Amla a terrorist during a match between Sri Lanka and South Africa in Colombo in 2006.
The softer stuff, the banter, the larrikin stuff, Dean Jones calling Hashim Amla a terrorist from the commentary box in 2006. An incredibly insulting racial stereotype of a beautiful man, Hashim Amla, you know, the pride of Muslim and Indian South Africa, just gets reduced with a throwaway, terrible comment. Again, it continues on. Moeen Ali says he got called Osama, which again is that Australian banter. But, you know, you try to be the best human being you can well be, a religious person, and you just get reduced to being a terrorist. Very disappointing.
When we talk about racism, it is not only the outright racist attacks or comments that need to be considered. Patrick Skeen thinks it's casual racism that puts many people off.
And then we move into casual racism. The under-19 Australian cricket team mocking the English skills of the Indian fans. And David Warner saying to Rohit Sharma, speak English. the classic playground insult is to reduce a migrant on their English language skills. And he tried to explain it away, but he knows. And it's always reduced to an out-of-character act, or he's a larrikin, or he's not always like that. But we look back, there's always been prejudice and discrimination, and Don Bradman was famous for not liking Catholics. And Bill O'Reilly would always accuse him, an Irish Catholic player. So there's always been a bit of inherent bias by the core institution, and people just say it's a reflection of the times, but it's there. It's the casual racism that puts people off. It's the casual racism that makes them feel like the other. It's the casual racism that makes them want to go and join another club, and that's where the rot sets in. So it's there, it's improved. But to deny it's a factor, or to call people precious or overly sensitive, I think defeats the purpose that if someone feels uncomfortable and they don't feel included, you won't get their best performances. And that's just the cold reality.
Jared Kimber points out that this kind of casual racism or discrimination is prevalent in clubs, which are the backbones of Australian cricket.
I do feel to this day that there's always been an outsider element that has been pushed to the side, that if you don't want to, you know, get drunk at the end of the day, or if you're not being involved in the club in a social aspect, which you may not feel comfortable at, you're not really part of the team. So I think that in some cases, that's probably why we've seen certain players maybe disappear. Again, that's probably less to do with outright racism than those clubs were set up by white working class men, right? More often than not, they have set up clubs for themselves. And it's the society around them that's changed, right? And those clubs probably haven't found a way to monetize the other players. They haven't found a way to make them feel at home. I've explained this to county cricket teams. County cricket teams will say things like in England, oh, we do everything we can for Asian cricketers, but they still don't turn up to, you know, every training session. And it's like, have you asked them why? Is it possible that that night of the week or that day of the week is something that's culturally important for their family? They're not just not coming because they're lazy, because these guys want to be professional cricketers.
Sometimes, in some cases, these things make a person stronger, tougher, ready for the big world.
There are always those who make the most out of any situation they are in, like Australian cricketer Usman Khawaja.
It was tough at times because I did stand out for that reason. At times I felt a bit on the outside growing up, but I loved the game. I loved scoring runs. I did it enough to obviously come up and break the mold a little bit and play and represent New South Wales in first class cricket. And then to do it for Australia, it was tremendous. I had two older brothers and they weren't easy on me. They were very hard on me. So they gave me really thick skin. Whenever there were setbacks and people sledged me, I grew up and I had plenty of racial vilification and things against me, but it never hindered me because I never got any sympathy or excuses from my brothers or my family. I was very resilient. I always wanted to prove people wrong if something happened, and the worse things got, the more I wanted to prove people wrong. And I think that's very important.
One has to be resilient as a sportsperson, but not everyone has that kind of family support to prepare them for the future.
So true. Sometimes we just learn from the other's experiences, and that prepares us to face unpleasant situations. I remember Australian woman cricketer Alana King sharing her parents' experience with us and how it helped her.
Discrimination comes in different shapes and sizes, and from my experience, just coming against other opposition teams, depending where they were from, yeah, there was a bit of discrimination, but I just kind of turned a blind eye to that. I was pretty young, but it probably was more prominent when if mum or dad heard it, and they would get a bit upset about it. So other teams that we came across who would say a few things that mum and dad probably heard, and I just kind of brushed away, and it probably hurt them more than it did me, because again, as I said, I was a bit naive and young and a bit uneducated about those things. Yeah. And it's hard, you know, with migrant parents, and when they move to Australia, it's a big thing, and they've got to prove to, I guess, the wider community that they're doing this for the better of them and for the better of their family. So for them to move across to Australia in the early 80s, yeah, it would have been very tough. And I know they would have faced their own types of discrimination in any form that it came in. So, yeah, it would have been tough for them, and obviously being tough for them to hear things that were talked to about my brother or myself when we were growing up.
Alana and Usman believe things have changed over the years. Usman says Australia has become more multicultural and even migrant families have begun to accept sports as a career.
I think Australia's come a long way. I was growing up in the 90s in Australia. It was a very different country to what it is right now. I think people are a lot more accepting, definitely better. You know, we're a very multicultural country now. There are pathways for people and sport in general. At that time, even my mum thought you couldn't make a living playing cricket, but now people see that you can make a very good living being a professional cricketer, especially in Australia.
Cricket for me means culture.
I don't like cricket, I love it.
This is Colours of Cricket.
Bhavin Naga, whom we heard at the beginning of the episode, also shares his experience playing cricket in Australia. He has some suggestions for migrants as well.
One I get pretty much remember is that when I start coming to bed, and he was like, let's send this curry back to the kitchen, which is kind of a obviously comment looking at how I look. So I know it was something not nice, but it just came up once, and I just dismissed it and continued to play it on. It's casual racism type, so I didn't bother too much about it. And all I said to the captain of the opposition team that make sure it doesn't happen again.
Bhavin Naga says it's important to speak up if you are not treated fairly.
Play with the spirit of the game and don't take anything which is you think would not have been fairly treated. If there's no fair treatment, you should speak up, whether it means to be your own club, your own team or association. You do not need to take racial abuse silently. You always get to see negative aspect blown out of proportion at times. Keep your mind clear. Don't go with any preperception of that. If I play cricket, I'll get not well treated or will not be given a fair trial. So don't shy away from the sports. Cricket is a great sport. It gets you a chance to learn, build your network, make your friendship. Don't get distracted by one or two or maybe more incidents about these untoward racial slurs, but take your stand, be clear what you expect from others and behave the same way you want others to be behaving.
However, Malcolm Conn says things are changing in Australia, and I can't disagree.
Unfortunately, when you get sort of big crowds watching games, there's always going to be idiots saying things. So we've had, unfortunately, in Sydney, we had a couple of incidents where players called them out, and we've just seen over time that as teams are playing against each other more and there's more interaction, that I think there's just a greater acceptance of people at various levels. But as I said, unfortunately, there's always some idiots who make life difficult for everyone.
Journalist and cricket writer Gideon Hay has similar thoughts. He says racism is far less common at community levels and becomes more visible when it gets to the international stage.
The racist dramas have been tended to be played out on the bigger stages, haven't they? Monkeygate in India in 2007-2008, and the sequel at the Sydney Test here, you know, the torment of Andrew Symons, the accusations against Harbhajan Singh, showed that the allegation of racism is an extremely sensitive one between the two countries.
It was an occasion when Australia was at the receiving end of things, and an Indian player was accused of being racist. Spin bowler Harbhajan Singh was accused of calling Australian Andrew Symons a monkey during a match at the SCG.
Initially, the ICC suspended Harbhajan Singh for 3 matches for making such a racist slur. But then it went to court. Players like Ricky Ponting, Matthew Hayden, Michael Clarke and even Sachin Tendulkar gave evidence. After which, Harbhajan Singh was found not guilty. It really was an emotional roller coaster for the players and fans alike.
The Indian Cricket Board took a tough stance and threatened to pull out of the series. There were reports that a special aircraft was readied in Sydney to take the Indian team back home.
The dimensions of racism are not necessarily always black and white. What was particularly a source of grievance in 2008 was that the accusation of racism ran the other way. It was Australians accusing Indians of racism. That was a naturally provocative stance and one that caused a militant counter-reaction from Indians, and also in the same process dramatised the degree to which Australian cricket is dependent on Indian collaboration, Indian financial heft, because India, if they had carried out their threat to abandon that tour, would have left Australian cricket in a very big hole.
Cricketing spirit prevailed in the end. When everything settled down, both Harbhajan and Simons played together in the Indian Premier League for Mumbai Indians.
Gideon Hay says that IPL is in fact helping to move on from those hard times.
I think the intermingling of players in the IPL and the role of Australian coaches over there, the eagerness with which Australian players sign up to play there, the fact that when you're on the cricket field, it doesn't really matter of racial or cultural background a teammate or an opponent is. To me, that's been an entirely sort of benevolent force in issues that are potentially divisive in world cricket.
Arjun Nair, who plays for Sydney Thunder, says cultural barriers are being broken now as players of Indian origin have begun to hang out with players from other nationalities and cultural backgrounds.
You share the change rooms with a lot of these players now and you realise, oh, you know, they're such good people off the field. When you're on the field like, and you're competing against opposition, like, you don't really know them that well. And now because of the IPL, you share the change room, the dressing room with these players and then you build a connection with them. You understand, oh, these guys are great guys. Like, and then you get on the field, it's hard to sledge because you get along well off the field now because you know them. Because if I'm friends with someone and then I sledge them on the field, I'm not sure they'll take them seriously. You will see when you spend time with other people, like after a game, there's more than one way of enjoying a win, for example. Like some people like to like spend time, have a beer, for example. Others just like to relax and just so different. They're very different personalities. And I think because of the IPL, people understand each other more. They understand, respect people's like different ways of going about their life.
Ankit Sharma, another young cricketer who plays in the IPL, feels the same.
Shared dressing room with many Australian players, likes of Shane Warne, Shane Watson, Steve Smith was there, Usman Khawaja, Adam Zampa, and it was a very good experience sharing dressing room with them and knowing the best part of the cricket.
Cricket has been changing a lot, from a 5-day test series to 50 overs, 20 overs and now 60 balls. From national teams to private leagues, Australians, Indians, West Indians and Pakistanis all playing together for the same team.
You're absolutely right, Sanjayan. This new format has provided the refreshing spirit so needed in cricket. However, we should see what Cricket Australia is officially doing to combat racism.
Cricket Australia board member Mel Jones says the board is aware of racism in Australian cricket. But she points out that the cricket field reflects the wider Australian society.
I think it's, in some ways, it's just reflective of the Australian broader society. Cricket is a very big ecosystem. We have a lot of players, we have a lot of administrators, we have a lot of wonderful volunteers, and they have touch points across Australian society and in all every ways in the different states and territories as well. So I think what I've noticed mostly over my time as a board member is that there's a real cognizant awareness that it's prevalent, it's there, exactly like society.
She says the authorities have already implemented many policies to counter this.
It's pleasing to know that when we're putting together policies or when we're putting together, you know, big events, that there's oversight on that and awareness to make sure that we have an inclusion space and we're trying to open our doors in the best possible way for anyone to play the game. I think it sort of starts from the respect at work policies that we have internally as an organisation. We have a number of systems that allows people to either come forward in a public manner or in a private manner if they don't want to be acknowledged, sort of, you know, that whistleblower sort of piece with hotlines, and that can be within the organisation itself or at match as well. And I think you would have known and saw at the Sydney Test with India that we had issues with crowd responses to players. And I think that's probably one of our biggest challenges. It takes a bit for people to put their hand up, be the ones to point things out. And that's the piece that we're trying to create, that, you know, you're going to be protected, you're going to be, you know, encouraged to do so. All the states and territories have protection policies and offices as well. So it sort of flows down from a national body through into the state system. And it's slightly different in every state, just to ensure that they're putting in places policies that reflect their own backyard, which is important. But those protection offices as well will have the processes in place to put through complaints and make sure that they're getting managed and dealt with right from the start all the way through as well.
Their anti-racism code for players and player support personnel that came into effect on the 1st of October 2016 prevents a player from engaging in any conduct or speaking in a manner that offends, insults, humiliates, intimidates, threatens, disparages, or vilifies the other player on the basis of the player's race, religion, color, descent, national or ethnic origin. Several cricket associations in the country also have various programs to promote multiculturalism in cricket. Harmony Program by Cricket Victoria is one such example.
And what is so special about this program?
It was developed to create safe, inclusive and equitable sport environments for everyone in the community.
It's really good to hear that checks and balances are in place. But I remember Hussein Hanif, the Ethnic Diversity and Inclusion Manager of Canterbury Cricket, who also worked for Cricket Victoria, talking about the failure in execution.
I think Harmony in Cricket did its purpose and did it really well. And initiatives throughout Harmony in Cricket, I think they were really good. I think the key focus is not based around, it wasn't based around how do we stop racism. It was around how do we engage communities to play the game that are for all Australians, for example. Those programs were created to give people an opportunity to play cricket and open the door to cricket. But I think openly and respectfully, I think there could have been more work done in the space, especially around the power of Harmony in Cricket. So the philosophy is to allow anyone from any race, age, weight, height, you know, to play the game. But at the end of the day, there should have been policies in place to allow things like racism to be brought to the forefront, but also looking at deeper, what policies are in place to actually stop these things from happening? What policies as a governing body does it have to actually support these practices as well?
Cricket as a whole has moved on, as we have learnt.
Everyone we spoke to agrees that the future will be much brighter than the past. While incidents of racism, sledging or stereotyping on cricket fields may not be a thing of the past yet, there is a growing realization that the colours of the world, not only cricket, are changing. You were listening to the last episode of Colours of Cricket, a podcast series that provided a comprehensive analysis of the changing colours of Australian cricket from a unique Indian subcontinental perspective.
If you have missed any of the episodes, go back to our webpage, sbs.com.au/colours of cricket, or follow us on your favourite podcasting platforms.
Our production lead was Diju Sivadas, and the series producers were Sahil Makkar, Abhas Parajuli, Vatsal Patel, Kulasekaram Sanchayan, and me, Preeti Jabal.
With inputs from Bangla, Gujarati, Hindi, Malayalam, Nepali, Punjabi, Sinhala, Tamil, and Urdu programs of SBS.
Sound design was done by Max Gosford, and the production was overseen by Manpreet Kaur Singh and Caroline Gates. We would also like to thank Patrick Skeen for his role as an advisor.
Wrapping up this podcast series, just one thing to say.
We don't like cricket. We love it.